I will be known in these last days. I am revealing myself more and more because more and more people are seeking me with more of their heart. I will be known, but many are going to dismiss what I reveal of myself. Many will ignore what I am revealing of myself. And I speak of my church, not so much of the world, but even in the world, there are many who will be aware that something is happening, and they will know that I am involved, and yet they will dismiss it. I am revealing myself more and more to those who are truly seeking me, and I am working to prepare them for revival. I am asking you to examine yourself and ask yourself, are you truly seeking me with all your heart? Are you truly seeking me as much as you could? I understand that you have lives, day-to-day tasks, things that must be attended to. But yet, are you truly seeking me? I am not calling you to a place to which you cannot attain. I am not asking you to seek me at levels that you cannot seek me. I am simply asking you to redeem your time and seek me as you can. I am revealing myself more and more, and along with that revelation is coming an increase of anointing for my church. For in the last days, not only will evil increase, but so will my power flowing through my church. It is warfare. And I will use you mightily on the front lines of this warfare, and I will place my hand of protection upon you as my power flows through you to overturn the works of the enemy. So seek me. Do not look in the mirror of your home to determine whether or not I will use you. Look in the mirror of my word and discover the fullness of who you are and seek me, for I am moving in these last days, says the Lord. Would you please turn to Revelation chapter 13? Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to give you a moment to turn there. And I want to just share with you that I really appreciate it. Those of you who do bring, you know, the printed form of the Bible, it means a lot to me because it just helps to set an example, especially for others. I've talked about this before, but, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. Revelation chapter 13 kind of looks like everybody might be there. Now, before I get into this, I need to, I guess, offer an apology. I don't know. It's come to my attention that I have been an offense in something I said. Well, I didn't know that until it was brought to my attention. See, there are some things I can say that I'm kind of confident could be offensive to some people. For example, if I say, if you don't pray in tongues, you cannot pray with the understanding and get the same result as you do when you pray in tongues. So I know if I say that, some people can be offended. And, oh, yes, I can. In fact, in this room, I've been confronted over that. I can pray with the understanding and get the same results as praying in tongues. Well, no, you can't, not according to Scripture. Not when you understand what's happening when you're praying in tongues. Praying in tongues takes your prayer really to hyper level as far as effectiveness is concerned. So I know if I say something like that, The potential is there for people to be offended. And I know that I've said a lot of things over the years that could be an offense to some people. And I don't do that on purpose. But I don't know. For me, I'm not afraid if people get upset with me when I speak something that's truth. And a lot of pastors, they kind of shy away from these things. Well, I don't. But I try to use wisdom. Nevertheless, you're wondering, what in the world did he say? Well, you know, more than once, maybe 2-3 times, I've said something about praying for a vaccine to be found for COVID-19. Well, I didn't think that was a big deal. But apparently, when I said that, what I was saying, according to I don't know how many, I'm actually praying for the mark of the beast. Yes. Now, I didn't know that. Now, the reason for that, let me explain, okay? And let's be nice here, because you don't know who all believes that. But the belief is, and I'm not going to go into all the detail. I'll just give you the, skip a stone across the surface explanation. That when this vaccine is, call it perfected or finally developed, when you are injected with it, in the syringe, there will also be a super tiny, you're not going to see it with the naked eye, nano chip that will also be injected into you, and that is the mark of the beast. Because, and again, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but because of the formulation and the code name for this, the numbers of it include 3 sixes. It's not 666, but it includes 3 sixes in the code number and so on. I've seen people driving cars with a license plate that says 666. And I wonder how, anyway. But that's when I said, praying for a vaccine, I now have been accused of praying for the mark of the beast. And I didn't know that such a thing was going to be an offense, but that's what it's become. And apparently it's become a rather severe offense. And I'll just leave it at that. But now let's take a look at this, okay? I mean, seriously, let's take a look at this. I know many people would think, well, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, but along with that, the potential for a super nano chip, microscopic nano chip, I mean, already research has been done for computer memory to be, how can I say this? That in your computer you won't have a hard drive. Well, the next generation of computer memory is the solid state drive. Well, the next generation beyond that, at least what is currently being worked on, the creation of artificial cells, like brain cells, where the information would be stored on those cells and used in the computer for computer memory. Now, if that gets perfected, then you would be able to have terabytes upon terabytes upon terabytes of information in your computer in a space about the size of a sugar cube. That's what is being worked on now. And they're nowhere near perfecting it yet. Okay, so the reason I'm saying that is because, yes, it's possible to have a nano chip that could be injected into your body and it'd just be flowing through your system, and there would be already, there are, what's the right word? It's nano something that it's like they're little mini nano robots that are programmed so that once they're injected into your body, they actually will attack like cancer and eat it and destroy it. Little robots, yeah. Now, this sounds so science fiction, but this is reality. This is the era in which we're living. So the concept of a small computer chip being injected along with the vaccine, I mean, that's a reality. It could happen. But would that be the mark of the beast? Well, let's take a look here and examine what is said in the Word of God and consider some things. And I'm not saying this to make fun of anybody. We're taking a real look at this and considering some of the logistics involved. And I am not going to go back and start making lots of references to what I taught back in February about that the end time series that I taught and, you know, what could be the mark of the beast. If you haven't heard, if you haven't seen that, you need to go online, you need to watch it. Nevertheless, in Revelation chapter 13, this is where we are introduced to the concept of the mark of the beast. Okay, before I go any further, the reason this is important is because there are people who attend this church now who have been too influenced by a lot of things on social media. Okay? That's all I'm saying at this point. But Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, we're not going to get into symbolism and, you know, what do the heads mean, what do the crowns mean. We're not. That's not what this is about tonight. So jump to verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right, now, theologians tell us that this is right about 3.5 years into the final seven, what we call the tribulation. So that being as it is, what we're going to do, we're just going to look at Scripture. That's just what we're going to do here. Look at the Word. So then, in Scripture, we see that in verse 1, there's this beast that rises up out of the sea. And in verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now look at this. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Okay, now, we're not going to get into Greek words, Hebrew words, Latin words, and whatever. We're not doing that. We're just going to look at this as it's written. Now, doing that, where it says in verse 7, power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Does that not imply all of planet Earth? Now, I'm not saying that to try and trick you. What I'm saying is based on what we see right here, based only on what we're reading, does that not imply all of planet Earth? But then it continues in verse 8 and seems to clarify that, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So in verse 7, it seems like he's saying, well, okay, you know, every nation on planet Earth. But then verse 8, it says, well, then all that dwell upon the earth. Then in verse 16, and he causeth all. Well, now, we've already seen in verse 7 that he's been given power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Then in verse 8, we see all that dwell upon the earth. Then in verse 16, he causeth all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, mark to receive, you know, a mark on their hand or in their foreheads, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be tricky. I'm just pointing this out. So then, it appears as though this mark is forced upon, well, let's just use Scripture. Verse 7, all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth. Now, doesn't it seem to imply that? Again, I'm not trying to trick you. Based only on this, doesn't it seem to imply that? Well, yes, it does. Okay, now, let's think about this. If that is true, then what it means is the vaccine with the little super nano chip and the nano chip being the mark of the beast, that means all kindred, all tongues, all nations, all that dwell upon the earth will have to be injected with the vaccine. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the vaccine carries the nano chip and the nano chip is the mark of the beast and everybody on earth is forced to take the mark of the beast, then that means everybody on earth will have to take the vaccine. Now, if we think only in terms of the fact, my goodness, it's COVID-19, why, it's, yeah, I mean, I could see how they would want everybody to take the vaccine. And quite frankly, I think that makes sense when you're talking about the vaccine. But we're also being told that this will include the nano chip and that the nano chip is the mark of the beast. Okay. All of that being established as a foundation, then let's consider some things. I did some research this afternoon. Presently, there are over 7.8 billion humans on Earth. 7.8 billion humans on Earth. How do you produce that much vaccine? Let alone the nano chips. How do you produce 7.8 billion doses of that vaccine? Well, someone could say, well, that's going to be pretty easy because you set up vaccine-producing plants in countries all over the world. Okay. But this is supposed to be happening about 3.5 years into the final 7 years. So that means we're going to have vaccine-producing facilities built or existing facilities reconfigured to produce enough vaccine for 7.8 billion people. You follow what I'm saying? But with only 3.5 years left, 7 year tribulation time, this is supposed to be around 3.5 years into it. That means there's only 3.5 years remaining. Now, with 3.5 years remaining, how do you inject that many people in such a short amount of time? Do you understand this? The manpower required to track down all 7.8 billion people is staggering. How many teams do you need to go through just the state of Ohio to get everybody injected? And then just the state of Ohio and Michigan and Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Alabama, Arkansas. I mean, just the United States. Then Canada. And then, you follow what I'm getting at? How many people are going to be needed to actually do the injections? Because we're not talking about like a crop duster that flies over a city and just sprays everyone. It has to be injected. How many people is it going to take to do that? Well, furthermore, what about all of the tribal people that live in jungles? How are you going to find them? Because remember, it says all the people on earth. How are you going to find all these people in the jungles, in Amazon and in the African continent? And how many of you remember here not too long ago, there was a fellow that he wanted to go to this island off of, where was it, Indonesia, something like that. And these are people that are still living in the Stone Age. And if you're not a part of who they are and you step foot on that island, they'll shoot you with arrows and spears. They will kill you. And they killed this guy. Okay, so if you have to do all the people on the earth, that means you're going to have to go to that island. Who's going to have the bravery to go to that island when they know as soon as they set foot, arrows are going to be flying in their direction? And how do you convince those people, we want to stick a needle in you, when they're saying, we want to stick a spear in you? Do you follow what I'm saying? How do you get to all the people groups on planet Earth? How do you find all of them? How do you go into the jungles and discover them? You know, Brother Elaine was talking about, he was on a mission trip down to, what was it, Brazil? They're on the Amazon, and they said, well, you know, we need to go and contact these people that, you know, downriver here. And he says they're going downriver, and you can't see anything. They park their canoe, and they get out, and they walk, and all of a sudden, boom, there are some huts. But you couldn't see it from the river. You had to start walking through the jungle before you could find these folks. They're all over like that. In Africa, the African continent, South America, they're all over like that. But if you have to do all humans, that means you're going to have to go out and find these people. All right, right along with that. Do you inject babies as well as teens and adults? I mean, where do you start injecting? Well, are babies susceptible to COVID-19? Well, yeah, they would be. So then it would seem as though you would need to inject the babies with the vaccine. All right. Well, if you're going to inject the babies, then how are you going to keep track of it? Now, here's what I mean. Statistics, as of today, the estimate is there are 15,000 worldwide, there are 15,000 births per hour, which comes out to 360,000 births per day. Who's going to track all of this? And that is roughly double the number of deaths. So you got babies popping out all over the place. Who's going to be tracking all of this? Well, they'll track it in the hospitals. Ah, really? What about all the babies that aren't born in hospitals? Remember the jungles? I mean, you do understand that not all babies are born in hospitals throughout this world. Okay, so how do you track all the babies being born at that rate? But then, you know, what about this? Look in verse 17. It says, no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Do you realize that if all we do is go by what is written right there, then that tells us there are three options. Well, we want to give you the mark. Ah, no. I don't want no mark. No. Well, then you have to take the name. Nope, I ain't taking no name. No, not me. Well, then you have to take the number. All right, well, I'll take the number. In other words, what I'm getting at, if the nano chip Is it the sum total of all three of these? Even though the way it's written, as we read it, it appears as though all three of these are separate, which means you could have a choice. Now again, we're not doing word studies. We're just reading it as it's written. So then, if each of these is a separate choice, then how does the nanochip fit into each separate choice? You understand this? But if you look in verse 16, it talks about you have to take the mark in either the right hand or the forehead. See that? Okay, now, I understand the concept of giving an injection to somebody in the right hand. I could see that happening. I mean, sometimes when they take blood, they just take it from the vein right there in your hand. But what about this forehead thing? How many? Oh, I can't get it out. How does the forehead fit into this? You follow me? When it comes to the injection of the vaccine, I've never heard of anybody getting an injection of anything in their forehead. Now, right hand, I get it. But the forehead, because it says here there is an option. That means we could say, you have to take the mark or you can't buy or sell. Well, okay. All right. Where do you want it? Your hand or your forehead? Well, how are you going to do it? With this needle. Okay, right here between the eyes. You follow? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. But then, here's one. How in the world? Let's just think United States only, okay? How in the world do you convince all the illegal immigrants to come forward and make themselves known so they can get the injection of the vaccine and the nanochip? That's just as good as saying, hey, deport me. You see this? Well, once again, that doesn't really make any sense. Somebody could say, well, what they'll do is they'll make an exception. If you will come forth so we can give you the injection, we will not deport you. Okay, fine. I can see that sort of like happening, depending on who's the president. And I'm not saying that to be funny, I'm serious. But let's think about this. If indeed the nanochip is the mark of the beast, and it is in that vaccine when you get injected with the vaccine, but at the moment they give you the vaccine and they're shooting you up with the nanochip, but you are not told you have to receive this injection of the vaccine, which includes the nanochip, and if you don't, you cannot buy and you cannot sell. If you are not told that ahead of time, then you will not be held accountable before God. Because you see, this whole thing of the mark, it's not going to be a secret. You know, over in Matthew, you don't have to turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you profess me before men, I'll profess you before the Father, and if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. This whole thing with the mark of the beast, there's not going to be anything sneaky about this. Okay, it's not going to be, here, we just want to give you, you know, a vaccine, okay, for COVID-19. So stick out your hand, and by the way, once you get injected with it, they have to inject it like in your bloodstream, then that nano thing is going to be going all over your body. It's not going to be stuck right here in your head or your hand. So anyway, they give you the shot, and then after they give it to you, they say, we got you. Now you can't buy or sell. Or you got it, but you can buy or sell. You follow what I'm saying? No, this is not going to be trickery. This is going to be open. You make a choice. You either take this or you don't. And if you don't, you know buy, you know sell. That's just the way it is. So there's not going to be trickery involved. So if they come to you and they say, okay, now here's the vaccine, and it's got a little microchip in it, and if you don't take this, then you cannot buy and you cannot sell. Okay, at that point, yeah, you could be a little suspicious. However, again, when you think about the logistics of a worldwide implementation of a nano chip filled vaccine, you know, logic dictates you start thinking twice about all this. But see, the thing is, the nano chip's not the problem. It's whatever instructions accompany the nano chip. Because if they say you have to take this or else, well, okay, then I guess there's a bit of an issue. But if it's supposed to be worldwide, then it has to be a worldwide declaration. That means you've got to get every nation on planet Earth and every government to come into agreement with this. That's not going to be the easiest thing to do. And not only that, you know, Pastor Jim, when you stand up and you say that you're praying for the vaccine for the coronavirus, you know, you're praying for the mark of the beast. Well, the thing is, guys, the mark of the beast is going to take place no matter how I pray. You know, people praying will not bring the mark of the beast into existence. It's going to happen whether you pray or not. Here's what this really comes down to. The whole concept of vaccine with nanochip being the mark of the beast, that is so totally first world. That is not an all humanity encompassing concept because of the logistics to make it happen. The mark of the beast won't be a secretive thing. Now look over in John chapter 9. Some people might wonder, well, okay, you know, how do people come up with this idea, these beliefs, these thoughts? You know, how do they do that? Well, in John chapter 9, in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay, now these are Jews having a discussion. And they are, as it says here, his disciples, they're asking him, okay, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, okay, where do you see in the law or the prophets that parents could sin and cause a child to be born with a birth defect? You can't find that anywhere in the law or the prophets. It's not there. It does not exist. You can go home tonight, read the entire Old Testament, and you won't find it if you stay awake that long. So how'd they come up with this? Well, it would have been the New Testament times version of social media. That's what it came down to. Because they heard somebody say, and then this was something that the religious leaders taught. Well, where'd they come up with it? Well, somebody told them. Well, where'd they come up with it? Well, somebody told them. Well, where'd they come up with it? You know, how far back does this go? I don't know. But it was a total rumor and wrong doctrine. And then Jesus, he cleared it up. He says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. I mean, think about it. Did this man sin that he was born blind? Excuse me, in his mother's womb? I mean, what was he like doing? Smoking or something? I mean, come on. That's why she had so much heartburn. Why? You see what I'm saying? If you just sit and think about these things, if they had just sat and thought, okay, now, how could an unborn baby commit a sin? They would have come up with there's no way. But they had heard it repeated and they accepted it. Now, in Joshua, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. See, here's the problem. You got too many people, Christians, too many Christians. Social media is more their Bible than the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That was relative to the law, but the concept is true today for us as Christians. Meditate in the Word of God. We'll look over in Psalm. Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now turn to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, let's take a look here in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. In verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Look in verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Look in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Now look over in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 26, and take a look at one verse, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, the people that are believing such things, especially what really come down to first world rumors, conspiracy theories, that cannot in any way be applied to the entire world population. The reason for that is because they are not meditating in the Word of God. Not the way the Bible describes. And their mind is not stayed on the Lord. Because if it were, they would not be in various levels of distress over the nano chip, over all this stuff that goes on out there. They would not give it a second thought. See, every now and then, I get things from people. Well, check this out. What do you think about this prophecy? What do you think about this thing? What do you think about that? What do you think? In other words, you really haven't prayed about this, have you? Because if you had truly prayed about this, God would confirm to you, this isn't worth your time. Move on. And you wouldn't be passing it along to everybody you know on Facebook or Instagram or whatever else you're involved with. You wouldn't do it. You're not in the Word the way you're supposed to be. You're not sowing the Word. Now, some people would say, oh, I am too. Brother Martin, you're just blind to all of this. You're just ignorant. You want to keep the people ignorant? You don't. No. What? Okay. If that's true, then how do you address all the questions I brought up concerning the vaccine and the nanochip? How do you address all those points that I brought up concerning just the logistics of accomplishing that much in 3.5 years? How do you address that? Because it can't happen. Physically, it is impossible. It cannot happen. Now, how many of you have heard the song, Jesus is Coming Soon? Okay, this time raise your hand if you've heard. Good heavens, what is wrong with you people? I can't believe you all need I'll tell you what you need. You need an injection of some good old Pentecostal blood. That's what you need. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Okay, now, does that ring a bell? No, Brother Martin, that don't ring no bell to me. Okay, well, you need your bell rung or something. But anyway, here's the first verse. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. That's the first verse. Does it sound like it would apply today? Yeah. That song was written by a man named R.E. Winsett in 1942. What was going on in 1942? Everybody thought Hitler was going to take over the world. In fact, preachers stood in pulpits and taught Hitler was the beast, the Antichrist, the swastika, the mark of the beast. How many of you remember my series? Okay, remember that picture, that image I showed you? And so, freedom we all hold dear is now at stake because they thought Hitler was going to take over. They didn't think there's any way Hitler's going to be stopped. And preachers were standing up telling Christians, you better repent because Jesus is coming soon. Hitler is the Antichrist. He's the beast. And blah, blah, blah. Man, and people were scared. They thought this is it. And then you end up with this song. I like the song. It's great. I really like the Oak Ridge Boys version of it. Look it up on YouTube. You get blessed. Oh, glory. Anyway. That was back in 1942. Guess what? Hitler got defeated. He wasn't the Antichrist or the beast. The swastika was not the mark of the beast. You follow me? In other words, social media of the time, radio and not so much television, it really wasn't that big back then, but radio, newspapers, preachers, Christians, they turned it into the end of the world, turned Hitler into somebody he wasn't. They turned that symbol into something it wasn't. And people bought into it. And now, if you had argued with them back then, Hitler's not the Antichrist, he's not the beast. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And they actually had verses in Scripture that they used to try and prove that Germany and all this other, that was becoming the 10-nation federation, the Axis powers and all this other. They used Scripture to prove their point. And you could have said, no, that's not true. They would say, well, you got your head buried in the sand. You're crazy. You're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you, talk to my preacher. Talk to my pastor. He knows. Well, then after the fact, guess what? Suddenly, nobody's talking about it. Now, I wasn't around back then. I know I look kind of aged. But people weren't pastors. I see reports of the pastor standing up and talking about it being that way. But then after the fact, I don't read a whole lot about pastors standing up and saying, guess what, everybody? I was wrong. It's the same thing that's going on today. And there are too many Christians. Listen, I've harped on this a lot, and I'm telling you, there are too many of you spending, when I say too many of you, I mean to whomever it applies, you're spending too much time on social media. Whatever gets sown into you, that is what's going to have the impact. And some of you, you know, I'm refraining myself right now to try and stay really nice. But some of you, I'm telling you, you're wasting your brain on this stuff. And you are sowing poison into your spirit system with this junk. Jesus said, don't be deceived. Okay, I'm going to ask you something. Again, let's just play some what if. What if the nano chip and the vaccine are not the mark of the beast? What if it's something else that you don't suspect and you take it? Now what? Well, enjoy hell. I don't mean to sound trite, but that's where you're headed. And over the years, in my lifetime, I've heard so many people talk about the mark is this, and they had all the proof for it. The mark is that. They had all the proof for it. And as time has gone on, the mark of the beast has constantly changed. It's always this next thing. It's always the next. And the thing is, you've got Christians out there, and I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, they've got their mindset on this. This is what it is. And the reason is because they're spending too much time on social media. Okay, let's say you come across somebody posts something on your form of social media, and it says, nanochip, vaccine, mark of the beast. Okay, I mean, they're just, you know, a blurb about it. Well, it's like, wow, and you click on that, and you read something. And they're always going to have references to so-and-so who knows, and such, who used to work at the so-and-so lab and has come forth and said, I mean, this stuff's always going to be on there. All these people, all these reliable people that don't exist, and they're going to be, you know, well, this one said and that one said and this one. Well, it's got to be true. How do you know? Well, because I read it. I mean, if I read it, it's got to be true. And so you start reading all this stuff, and it begins to have an impact on you, and you start to bear the fruit of that 30, 60, and 100-fold. And you completely ignore what God has said in His Word. Spend some time meditating. I'm going to give you two chapters that you can meditate. Matthew 24 and 25. Pretty simple. Because in Matthew 24 and 25, if you want an explanation that's got really some pretty good detail about what's going to happen in the end, right before Jesus comes back, meditate Matthew 24 and 25. And here's what you're going to find. Jesus said nothing about the mark of the beast. Go back and read it. Brother Martin, that can't be true. What is true? Oh, Brother Martin, until I read it on the internet, I won't believe it. Well, then I'll go home and post it. Then you can read it. Jesus didn't say anything about the mark of the beast. What He did say was, don't be deceived. In fact, when you read through Matthew 24 and 25, what you're going to see over and over again, not these exact words, but warnings against deception about relative to what's going on. And to stay strong in what you believe. Because He said, look, false prophets are going to arise. And if it's possible, even the very elect, if they can be deceived, they're going to be deceived. You need to understand, this whole thing about, well, every time, you know, the mark is this, the mark is that. Okay, this is a form of deception. Because the more you allow yourself to be deceived is the more you become deceivable. Which is the more you are setting yourself up for terrible deception. So when you read Matthew 24 and 25, you begin to realize, okay, it's not as important for me to know what the mark of the beast is. What I need to do is to be spiritually equipped to withstand all deception that comes my way. And that basically is two ways. You pray in tongues, and then you get in the Word. Those two ways. Now look over in Colossians chapter 3. Now, all the people out there watching this or listening to it, you know, if you're among those who were offended when I said about praying for the vaccine, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. But I'm not sorry that I don't agree with you. Because logistically, it is physically impossible for the mark of the beast to be that nanochip. But I will say this. I encourage you. Watch my teaching series on end times. The video. Watch the videos. And that's all I'm going to say. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Look here. Here's how to avoid getting pulled into all these conspiracy things. Right here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you set your affection on things above, you're going to have to whoever this would apply, you're going to have to pull your affection away from all that social media stuff. Doesn't mean you don't ever do any social media. I mean, you know, I'm on there because, like I've said before, there are people in other countries that communicate with me, you know, through Facebook. So I'm on there. And those of you that have seen what I post a lot of computer tips, and I post a lot of audiovisual tips that I know are helping churches. Well, you're going to have to pull yourself away from all the other stuff. You know what? Anyway, this phrase here in verse 2, affection on, okay, that comes from a Greek word, phroneo. And basically what it means is to willingly direct your focus, attention, thoughts, and mindset toward a specific thing or person. So the way that you get caught up in all this, you know, the stuff that's going on out there, you've directed your focus, your affection on that stuff. But when your affection is on the things of God, and see, I already know, people would argue with me and say, but my affection is on the things of God. Then why are you so involved with all of this other stuff? Why are you so captivated by it? The truth of the matter is, who cares what the mark of the beast is? If you are solid in your walk with Christ, you're going to know when that mark comes along and you're not going to take it. You're going to know. He's going to reveal it to you. So really, you don't need to be wasting your time on that. You need to be redeeming your time and going forward into God. Look, you can't have successful revival when somebody's standing up, passing along, rumors and you know, the theories and all this other kind of stuff that's out there. Now, this message is to encourage you. See, if I had the ability to control your life, I would control how much you're on social media. I absolutely would. Because it's damaging to so many people. And some of you, I see some of your posts out there. By virtue of the post you put out there, I can tell you're wasting your time. You're not seeking God the way that you could, the way that you ought to. And you definitely are being too influenced by the world. Your affection is not toward the things of God the way it should be. That's got to change, because we are getting closer and closer to the end, to where things are going to get worse and worse, and the deception is going to increase. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. So, and I realize that not everybody listening to this is all that involved in social media. I get that. I understand it. For some of you, maybe this applies. And you need to think about this. You need to pray about it. You need to go before God. And you need to redirect your affection where it needs to be. And when that happens, see, I've given this illustration, and it's not really social media, but it kind of, in a manner of speaking, could be in that area of social something. You know, my favorite sport is college football. And there was a time in my life where, you know, when the first game started, right about noon on Saturdays, man, there I am in front of the TV the whole day, till 11, 12 o'clock at night, one game after another. And thank God for the remote, because I could bounce back station to station. All of these, I got like, my only regret is that I didn't have like 5 TVs in the living room, so I could watch all the games at the same time. And I'm not totally joking about that. Well, anyway, because I was praying, God began dropping little hints to me. I began sensing, I'm doing this too much. So I began backing off, to the point to where I watched one, maybe two games in a day, even though the game of the century was being played that week, and next week was another game of the century. I began backing off from it. In other words, I began breaking myself away from that which had captured too much of my affection. You keep pressing into God with an attitude of, God, I want to be like Jesus, and I want this conquered, whatever it is, I want this conquered in my life, and I'm telling you right now, you'll beat it. You will beat it. You'll conquer this stuff, and you'll realign your affections to where they should be. And when you do, I'm telling you, you're going to start discovering joy and peace at a depth you haven't known. and it feels good. Praise the Lord. So, here in conclusion, I sincerely hope that I haven't offended even more people. That wasn't my intent, but sometimes, you know, you just kind of have to, as my friend used to say, put a pencil to it. You know what I mean? I just kind of think about things logically. And sometimes you come to a little bit different conclusion. Praise God. All right, everybody go ahead and stand. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you show us in your word. And Father, you folks out there that maybe I've offended, I'm asking you to minister to them because I really wasn't trying to offend. I just don't believe a lot of this stuff that's out there. And I don't want anybody else to be distracted. So anyway, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your truth. And I just pray for those of us here and those watching, those listening, if we have, if our affections are not aligned the way they should be, I pray that there would be the holy conviction in our lives to make it right. In Jesus' name, amen.